All right. Well, good morning again, everybody. Thanks for coming out on this cold morning. And how many of you didn't have power this morning? Oh, wow. Well, it feels good in here, doesn't it? Well, we're glad you're with us. And I said, hey, let's do free coffee for everybody who comes. And it's just a great day. So thanks to all the guys who showed up yesterday, some of the soul hunters and some other guys that showed up yesterday and cleared the parking lot so we could get in here and have church this morning. So let's give it up for them. Also, hello to all the people watching us by Facebook. We're on Facebook Live, which we don't usually do, but we're on Facebook Live this morning and live stream. So thanks to all you guys who are joining us. Thanks for praying for me. I have a super busy couple of weeks coming up overseas, and so I appreciate all your prayers for that. Amen. Open your Bible. I don't plan on keeping you too long, but I do have something that was on my heart. It's not what I planned to preach, but I'm going to preach something different. So I have no PowerPoint, but I hope I have power and a point. Just no PowerPoint. But get into the scripture with me, and we'll pick up with this thing I was doing last week. We'll pick up with that when I get back. But I just had something on my heart that I was thinking about, and I really felt the Lord dropped it in my heart, and it's concerning the new year, and what are we going to do with it? I heard these words. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? So I'm going to ask that question this morning. Where's the fire? Several years ago, probably 20 years ago now, I went to a church growth seminar in Norfolk, Virginia. One of the speakers was Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer is a great Baptist strategist and a church growth statistician and stuff. And he spoke. He did a wonderful job. The other speaker was a guy named Glenn Wagner. And they introduced Glenn Wagner like this. Glenn Wagner is a change agent. He's never pastored a church under 100 years old, and every one of those churches he's gone into, he's transformed and turned around. He's a change agent. Well, Glenn Wagner got up to the pulpit or the platform, and he said, okay, everyone introduces me as a change agent, so I actually went and looked up what are the characteristics of a change agent. And he said, when I read them, I realized I didn't possess one of them. But he said, I have something that's greater than all those characteristics. I have passion. That statement has always stuck with me through the years. I have something greater than just natural ability, just natural talent, though those things are important. I have passion. And if you have passion, you can do a whole lot in life. Amen? Because it'll cause you to learn, it'll cause you to pursue, it'll cause you to go after. Well, I want to talk this morning about having a passion for God. And if we look at the definition of passion, because there's several different definitions of passion in the English language, but the one I'm looking for is that strong desire or devotion to someone. A strong desire or devotion to someone, and this one being God. Do you possess a passion for God? Are you, let me put it this way, are you on fire for God? Can you say, Pastor Hans, I'm more on fire for God today than I've ever been in my life? Let's ask that question. We're going into 2018. Am I more on fire for God today than I've ever been in my life? Fire is an interesting concept in Scripture, and it represents many different things. First of all, it represents judgment. It represents judgment. God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. He showed up in fire on Egypt during the Exodus. Also, fire represents something that comes with the presence of God. God is seen encompassed in fire. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, smoke went up from his nostrils and fire from his mouth devoured. So fire is associated with the presence of God. God answers by fire the prayer of Elijah. Even in Leviticus, they offered up offerings on the altar, and then fire came out from the presence of the Lord and licked it up. In Revelation, Jesus is described as having eyes like a flame of fire. Jeremiah said, Lord, your word is a fire and a hammer. And when Jeremiah was put in prison, he wouldn't preach before, but after he was in prison, he said, man, I just realized I couldn't restrain myself. I couldn't contain it. It was like fire shut up in my bones. And I had to get out and I had to proclaim. Fire is also representative of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, right? On the day of Pentecost, The people were gathered in the upper room. Fire fell from heaven and lit up each person there, representing the power of the Holy Spirit that came and landed on the people in the New Testament. Fire appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and God began to speak to him out of that consuming, that fire that was burning the bush but not consuming the bush. Hallelujah. So fire is super important. Fire in the Old Testament tabernacle was important as well. A fire came out from before the Lord and consumed Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Levi, because they were offering strange fire before the Lord. The fire of the Lord consumed the Israelites who complained in the Old Testament. The fire of the Lord consumed a bunch of men in Korah's rebellion, and the ground swallowed them up. They stood against Moses' leadership. The Bible even says in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. One of the most interesting pieces, and we started studying the book of Revelation this past Wednesday night, and it's already super fascinating, and so many things were lighting me up Wednesday night. But one of them was the vision John had of the 12 menorah, or the 7 menorahs rather, and Jesus standing in the midst of them. The Bible says they were candlesticks or candelabra, but the word in Greek is the same Greek word used in the Septuagint for the menorah in the Old Testament tabernacle. So it's possible that he was standing in the midst of 7 menorahs. And in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was at least one menorah that stood in the holy place on the left side. And it was to be lit. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24, because I think this is an interesting passage. I'm going to start here. Leviticus chapter 24, and let's look at the instructions as to how to handle the menorah and its operation in the Old Testament tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually. Can everybody say continually? Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure lamp, gold lampstand before the Lord continually. The lamp stand was representative of the almond tree with its branches and its buds and its flowers. It was looked like that in that kind of metalwork, and it was to be burning continually before the Lord. Some scholars say that it went out at night, it would be lit again in the morning. Others say that only one of the candelabra would remain lit all night, whatever, but it was to be a basic continual fire before the Lord. It was the only light in the holy place. When you get to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see something happening in the life of the priest Eli at the time. I remember it from King James, so I'm going to quote the King James. It says, and ere the lamp of God went out. And it's talking about evening was coming, and evening was coming, and the young boy Samuel was in the living quarters with the priests, and Eli was there, and God speaks to Samuel. If you've read the passage, you know what I'm talking about. And then he calls upon him several times. Finally, Samuel realizes it's the Lord and responds to him. But that term, ere the lamp of God went out, I think it literally was saying it was evening time and evening was coming. But I think figuratively the author had a meaning as well. And that was figuratively there was something happening spiritually in Israel. And that was the fire for God, the passion for His presence was going dim. There was no fresh revelation in Israel. The sons of Eli were corrupt to the bone. And God was calling out a new generation and raising up a new generation who would hear His voice and who would be on fire and who would have a passion for God. Which tells me if we don't take it up and we don't get on fire, God will go over us to someone else who will get on fire for Him. Is anybody with me this morning? So like the tabernacle menorah, we are to be on fire. We are to be stirred up. It's time to stir yourself up. Come on. January 7th, 2018, it's time to no longer be lukewarm, but be hot on fire, red hot for Jesus, if you want God to do anything in your life this year. I have a good friend, Kent Christmas, from Nashville, Tennessee, and we were with him in November, And I went down and preached for him. And the Sunday I preached for him, they had told me that the week before, Kent told me, the week before he had read a prophetic word to his church. And then he came on New Year's night and read it to Rock Church. And I was there. Many of you were there New Year's night. And it was a word that the Lord gave him for 2018. And the basic premise of the word is God's done with the lukewarm. He's done with the lukewarm. He's going for the red hot on fire, or he's going for the hardcore sinner. And he said, that's who I'm going to move on in 2018. I have confidence in my friend Kent. I serve as a presbyter elder at his church, and we love them, and we have confidence in them. And so I feel to echo that warning this morning. If you're lukewarm, you better get on fire for God. You don't have any more time to waste. Now is the time. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's today. It's January 7th, 2018. Now is the time to get on fire for Jesus. Shake yourself. Get the slack out. Wake out of your slumber and say, God, I'm here and I'm ready to serve you. And I'm going to do everything I can for you this year. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to give and I'm going to go and I'm going to read and I'm going to study and I'm going to worship. And I'm going to witness. Is anybody in here this morning? I'm going to get hot on fire for Jesus this year. Give him a shout of praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lukewarm. I looked up just a basic English definition of lukewarm, and we all know what lukewarm is, right? It's not hot water, it's not cold water, but it's kind of in between. But one of the English definitions was this: half-hearted. I thought, wow, how appropriate. Being lukewarm is being half-hearted. We'll put a little bit of our effort into it. How many of you guys played sports? How many of you hated to play with a sorry player? Somebody that's, you know, we're gonna put the, won't run, won't throw. That's why coaches are so mean, right? Because nobody's going to be, I remember years ago, I went to the University of Kentucky, praise his holy name, and was there when Rick Pitino was coach. And I remember we had a point guard, I'm not sure of his name, so I'm not going to say it. We had a point guard at the time. He was awesome. And we were going to play Indiana. We're getting ready for an Indiana game. And Indiana was a really powerhouse back then, too. And I heard the pregame interview. And they interviewed this point guard, and Indiana had a point guard that was just like a superstar. And they asked our guy, they said, hey, are you afraid of this guy? He said, no, I'm afraid of Rick Pitino. I'm afraid of the coach way more than I'm afraid of this guy. I was like, yes, that's great, man. That's called not being half-hearted because you know you're going to get chewed out. Listen, let's be like that, man. Let's not be half-hearted when it comes to the things of God. We have so many years to live. I want to stand before the Lord knowing I've given every ounce of my energy, every bit of my intellectual power, every bit of my physical body, every waking day. I want to know that I've given everything to Jesus. So I have no power, but I have some points. I have no PowerPoint, but I have some power and some points. So if you want to write these down, here we go. How can you be on fire or stay on fire for the Lord in 2018? Number one, get into the Word and prayer in a fresh way. This is good. This really should go without saying, but I'm going to say it. Get into the Word and into prayer in a fresh way. What is a fresh way? I don't know. My wife and I started going through an audio devotional of the Bible. We've never really done that before. So we're just laying in bed listening to somebody read the Bible to us in a British accent. It's like, man, it's super cool. How many of y'all have a smartphone? Dumb phone. Dumb operator of a smartphone. No, you can just get on your smartphone, go to the apps, you can figure it out, and you can find these things, just read the Bible to you. Get into the Word in a fresh way. Because I'm telling you, Jack Hayford said this years ago. He said, even when there's days I do my daily devotions and I read the Scripture, and my mind's just kind of out to lunch, and I'm not really focused on it, he said, I still believe there's spiritual power in reading. I still believe there's spiritual power coming to me as I read or listen to the Scripture. Get in prayer in a different way. Maybe go to a different place to pray. Pray with a prayer partner. Get someone locked in with you in agreement this year in prayer. Shake it up and do something different. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we live on the word of God. The second thing is, get around some people who are on fire. Or let me put it this way, get around some people or things even that are anointed. What do I mean by that? If you hang around people, I mean, we need to witness and be in the world, absolutely. But you also need some people who stoke the fire that's in you. People who think like you, people who take you up to the next level, people who you can get around that fire you up, some anointed people. Some anointed folk that you just get around and you want to be more like Jesus when you have. Do you have anybody like that in your life? That you just get around and you want to be more like Jesus. I have a friend and he's an amazing Bible teacher. And when I'm around him, I'm like, oh my, I got to study the Bible, man. I got to get back at home and get in my study and I got to get to working, you know. I have a friend who's very prophetic. And when I'm around him, I'm like, man, we need to release the prophetic. We need to be having prophetic conferences and I have a friend who's a soul winner. I mean, an amazing soul winner. And when I get around him, I'm like, what are we doing? Are we winning souls? We might as well quit if we're not. You know, their passion rubs off on me. That's a gift projection. It'll rub off on you. So get around some people who fire you up and stoke the furnace in your heart so that you're not sitting around. You know, when you're backsliding is when you start avoiding those people. The phone rings, it's prayer warrior Sawyer. Or Meads. I've hit half the congregation by saying one of those. It's prayer warrior Meads or Sawyer. And you're like, no, I'm not answering that right now. I'm trying to watch Netflix, man. I'm not going to be doing it. And you start avoiding them. That's not really a good way to roll right there. Don't avoid them. Get around anointed people or even anointed things. What I'm talking about tapes and CDs and books and things you can get your hands on that speak life to you in 2018. Put some stuff in your stereo that can speak life to you. Country music. I don't say stuff like this normally, but normally doesn't speak life. One man said, did you hear about the country song that got saved? The wife came back. The man sobered up. The dog came home and it stopped raining and everyone was let out of jail. But anyhow, just something that speaks life to you, man. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to move on. Number three, make room this year for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Make room this year for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit's fire. Do not quench the Spirit or the Spirit's fire. He's actually in context talking about prophetic words being given. Should prophetic words have a place in the church? Absolutely. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost in church like Alex was doing? Absolutely. Should you be praying in the Spirit in your private time? Absolutely. Should you be laying hands on the sick out at Walmart? Absolutely. Should you be looking for God to do miracles and signs and wonders in your life Sunday through Saturday? Absolutely. Turn loose the power of the Holy Spirit in your life this year. Get around some people who operate, who don't just talk about it, but operate in the fullness of the Spirit's power. Because I'm telling you, I can minister to you mind to mind, and it goes so far. But when I minister to you spirit to spirit, we take it to a whole nother level, man. It's like my friend Ted Shuttlesworth. When he walks in, he preaches great word. But when he walks back to you and starts talking about stuff you have in your pockets, or stuff you did last week, we go to a whole nother level of revelation and ministry right to the spirit of man. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Make room for the operation of the Holy Spirit. Write these dates down, February 5 and 6. It's weird. It's a Monday and Tuesday. On a Monday and Tuesday night, February 5 and 6, we're having missionary Matt Helland with us, and he's going to do a releasing the prophetic conference for us. And I don't know if 10 people show up, if 200 show up, we're going to do it. But make plans the 5th and 6th of February, Monday and Tuesday night, to get in here. We're going to let Matt Helen just roll. He does this all over the world. He is considered the chaplain or the pastor of the red light district in Amsterdam. And he's helped some of those people get out of their lifestyle. So he's going to be with us releasing the prophetic, releasing those gifts that are in your life. Number four, forgive everybody right now in January so we don't have to carry this garbage with us to February, March, April, and on through the year. Let's just decide to forgive everybody right here today. I'm preaching to 10, but I'm hoping to reach several hundred here. Let's forgive everybody right now today and let this year start out right. Because if we're harboring unforgiveness and stuff in our hearts and we're still holding these people in bondage and we're holding ourselves in bondage. You say, Pastor, I can't forgive because there's too much that these people have done to me and you just don't know what I've been through. Listen, man, forgive them as an act of your will. Forgive them as an act of your will and then feelings will follow later. Don't worry about feelings. Just release them. Say, Father, I forgive them in Jesus' name by an act of my will and I release them right now. All the words and all the hurts and all the things they've done against me, I release them right now in Jesus' name and you walk out of here in faith believing that it's all done. Because I'm telling you, as you release others, God's going to send some outpouring on you. And He's going to open up your heart. And He's going to do some things that are absolutely amazing in your life. Could it be that some of our prayers aren't being answered because we haven't forgiven others? Could it be that there's some financial breakthrough that's not... I feel like I'm preaching 90 miles an hour this morning. Are y'all with me? So, could it be that we're not having financial breakthrough right now in our lives because we're holding unforgiveness in our hearts against other people? Could it be that we're not receiving a physical divine healing right now because we're holding back something hard against somebody else? Let it go. January 7, 2018, let this thing go. Determine you're not carrying that into 2018 with you. It can stay back in 2017. Hallelujah. Final thing, and I'm going to get up on your grill if I haven't been already. Make a commitment to church this year. Why? Because if we want to get fired up for God, there are embers in any fire, right? And the way to extinguish the fire is to remove or separate the embers. Take an ember off to itself in the cold, and it will go out. A way to stoke a fire is to put those embers together and stir them up and let fresh wind blow on them and stir that thing up, and then embers bring heat to each other and the fire grows larger and larger and larger. Hallelujah. When you get in this sanctuary, my prayer this year is that you get so on fire for Jesus that you light up when you walk through the sanctuary doors. And as you come in, you're going to see somebody else worshiping, and you're going to be like, man, I want to get my praise on like they're doing it. And you're seeing somebody laying on their face before God, and you're like, man, God, that's in my heart, but I've just been raised not to express any emotion in church. But that's going to go in 2018. Because I want to be on fire like them. Just come and get with others and associate with others. Get in a life group. Get in a Sunday school class. Get in a ministry. Get involved in Living Free or Healing Rooms or something that we offer here, because that will stoke your fire. I notice people that work in our healing rooms, they'll start working in the healing rooms. Then all of a sudden they're coming telling me about prophetic visions and people being healed and filled with the Spirit. And then I see them rise to another level. It's like, oh my gosh, man. Why? They're in there fueling each other's fire. I see people involved in Living Free. Somebody came and said, man, everybody in the church needs to go through this. Everybody here, man, it's amazing. I never wished I would have been exposed to this 30 years ago in church. Why? They're stoking each other's fire. Someone came to me and said, hey, what do you do with life groups? I said, listen, man, we love our life group so much, we'll shift everything else in our week so we can have life group. Why? Because it stokes their fire and those embers come together. Yesterday, the guy, Gary, and these guys were out here clearing the parking lot. And the first question was, what are we going to do about Sunday school? Because we fixed breakfast. I said, man, get on the phone. Y'all can cook whatever you want to. Why? They get together and it stokes their fire. Those embers are burning together. When we went out, y'all showed up today. It was 2 degrees in Camden this morning. I was drinking coffee and sitting at the table and looking at the phone, and it went from 4 to 2. And I looked at the other places in the world, and New York City was warmer than we were. I'm like, something's wrong with this picture. But nonetheless, you guys came out today because evidently you understand this principle. I want to get with some other people that can fire me up and stoke the fires in my heart so that I can go out this week and do what God has called me to do. Can you shout amen? Amen? So make a commitment. I'm going to commit myself to the work of the church. I'm going to do some stuff. Maybe I'll go on my first mission trip this year and get really out of my comfort zone and do that. Maybe I'll go downtown and help the missions team on some of their outreaches. Maybe I'll go with the soul hunters and help those guys as they go out and feed the hungry or do whatever they're doing. Man, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and this year I'm going to make a commitment to be more on fire for Jesus than I've ever been in my life. Can you shout amen? What if at the end of this year, you are not the person that comes around and drags everybody else down? I'm not saying you're like that. But I've caught myself being super negative over certain things. You know, well, it's going to be a great day. Yeah, but did you see what happened down the road? The country's going really well right now. No. Did you see what happened over in California? You know, where there's always like some negative we want to lay out on the table. And I've checked myself recently with this. I'm like, man, Hans, sometimes you can stop a room with just one negative statement. I don't want to be like that. I want to be the person that people are coming around saying, man, I need to get around Hans because I need a word. I need to be lifted up. I want the anointing that's on his life. I want to flow in the power he and Jackie walk in. I want people coming to me like that, don't you? Come on, amen. When we walk out of here, we're representing Jesus, representing this church, representing the kingdom, and we want to come out of here with some fire and end this year by saying, man, I love getting around these guys because they lift me up and they're so on fire for Jesus that it's contagious. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. So if the menorah in Leviticus chapter 24 was to be burning continually, and I'm going to say it's symbolic of spiritual presence, as it was, I think, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Symbolic of spiritual fire, symbolic of fresh revelation. Shouldn't we be pursuing the Spirit in that manner in 2018? That we're full of fire and full of fresh revelation. Because I'm telling you, it takes soaking. It takes soaking and soaking and soaking in the Word and His presence among others, fellowshipping, to really have revelation start rolling out of you on a consistent basis. So I want to be like that. Soaked in it, soaked in it, soaked in it. I'm sorry, but some people, we've heard so many people like, man, we do too much church, and church gets, you know, and I understand that, and we've made adjustments for all that. But me and Jackie go home and have private conversations. We want to know how much we can get involved in. We want to know how much we can get in the presence. Because we've dedicated our lives to live like that. We want to just get in His presence as much as possible. Amen? Would you be with me this year? We're going to get in it. We're going to have some revival meetings. I'm going to have some special speakers. We're going to do some different things this year. But we're going to put our whole heart in it, feet forward. Hallelujah. We got some amazing things happening in 2018. I'm believing God to explode this church. I'm believing God we're going to need another service here soon. Well, we need another service now, but we're going to work on it. I'm going to believe God for a parking lot and a few other things. Amen. Because we need some stuff here, and let's just get in drive, and let's go, and let's not come to church thinking, man, how long is he going to preach today? But come to church like, come on, say more, Pastor, come on. Or how long are they going to sing today? Dead people don't worship. Live people worship. So if you're dead, you're sitting there. It's like stabbing me in the eye. But if you're on fire, you're like, crank it up, man. Go deeper. Go further. Let us get into the flow. Somebody told me they didn't like people coming down front. I don't care. I wish all of you would come down. I would stand on the chairs, run the room. I don't care. Why? Because we've had dead church too long and life's too short for dead church, and I'm too alive for dead church. I want to be on fire, burning with everything in me. Hallelujah. Somebody stand at your feet and give God a shout of praise that you're saying, I'm going into 2018. I'm shaking off the lethargy, and I'm shaking off the dead, and I'm pruning up my life, and I'm walking into this next season more on fire than I've ever been in my life. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, let it ring. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Turn around and tell two or three people around you, come on, I'm getting on fire this year greater than I ever have been before. Come on, tell them. Make that declaration right now. Now turn back around and tell three or four people, now this is your year now. Come on, this is your year. This is your year to get on fire. See, when fire comes into your life, you can no longer waver between two opinions. When fire comes into your life, addictions can't hold on any longer. When fire comes into your life, you're not constantly wondering, should I get involved in this sin, or should I go to church and get involved with the little church people? You're no longer thinking like that. You're thinking on the side of fire all the time, the side of passion all the time, the side of Jesus all the time. And let me tell you something, there's a misnomer in the church today, and that is if we water everything down, we'll reach more people. That's a bunch of hogwash. The world needs fire, and they need passion, and they need a church that's ready to go and take it into the highways and byways. Somebody shout amen. Come on, this way I want to start out this year. Everybody who will, come to the altar right now. Even if you just get to stand, hands lifted, even if you just come out into the aisles, we're going to pray right now. Come on, everybody that will, it's act of faith. Just step out of where you are. Even if you just step out in the aisle, that's fine. Just an act of faith. I'm stepping forward. I'm leaving the past behind, and I'm stepping into the things of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I was last Tuesday, I had all kinds of stuff going on, conference call, this, but I took my kids up to D.C. with me. I had business to do, and when I got there, we went to the Bible Museum. Well, I only had time to see one exhibit, so I got to go back now. But anyhow, they saw a little bit more than I did, but I saw one exhibit, and the exhibit I saw was on the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And you go through one room, and it's the room, and it even has like pebble-like flooring. And it's replicating where the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And then there were stones stacked representing each tribe of Israel, because they were to leave a memorial when they passed from the wilderness into the Canaan land. The memorial representing, this is where we've come from, and this is what God has done, but I'm not staying there any longer. I'm going on over into the promises of God and what He has already given me by faith. So can you raise your hand and say right now, come on, say it out right now, January 7, 2018, I am celebrating all that God has done, and I build a memorial of thanksgiving right here for all that He's done. But today I'm stepping over by faith into stuff God has promised me, into my destiny, and into my new season. Now give the Lord a shout right now. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord, let's pray. Father, we leave right here at this altar all the stuff from the past that we're not carrying with us, God. The bitterness, the failures, the unforgiveness. We leave it all right here. And we drop it at your feet, Lord. And God, now we step into our new future, our new destiny this year. And we declare new things springing up. Lord, I'm even hearing new wineskin in 2018. New wineskin to hold new wine in 2018. And God, we declare this thing, hallelujah, happening right now. God, I thank you for the shifting of gears this year in mine and Jackie's life and in this church's life. Thank you, Father, for stepping into a new destiny, a new calling opened up, a new door opening up for us as a church. And I thank you, Lord, hallelujah. I thank you for expansion in 2018, and I thank you for new things that we haven't seen yet breaking forth in this year. Now we pray for everyone at this altar and everyone in these aisles. God, I thank you for new things in their family happening. Thank you for salvation of family members this year, Lord. Thank you for financial turnaround this year, God. Thank you for open doors and jobs and blessings and raises and bonuses coming that we didn't expect this year, God. Thank you for supernatural debt payoff this year, Lord. And thank you, God, for ministry opportunities opening for us, God, that we didn't even expect before, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. And we leave it here and we declare right here, this is my Ebenezer. This is my mark. This is my monument before God. I'm going on into the destiny that God has for me this year. If you believe it, shout amen and give the Lord a hand clap of praise in here. One more thing before we leave. Now touch the person next to you on the shoulder or by the hand and just say, Lord, I pray for my brother or sister right now. And I pray for them, Father, in Jesus' name, that you minister to them and that you touch them, Lord, right now. And God, that you pour out your fire and your spirit in them today, I pray, God. And I pray, God, all the past, all the lethargy, all the deadness is blown away. All the chaff blown away right now in the name of Jesus, God. Just fresh fire stoked in their hearts. Stir up the embers. Stir up the gifts in them, God, I pray. Release of new gifts, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. In this church and in these folks, God, this morning. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. You know what? I think we should just shout our way out of here. Don't you think we should just dance and shout our way out of here? So we're going to turn on some music right here and we're going to crank it up. And as we do, I want you to hug about 10 people and say, hey, man, I'm ready. Come on, I'm ready. I'm ready for this year. I'm ready for what God has for me. Hallelujah. I'm ready for the new season He's bringing me into. If you want to stay at the altar and pray, you can. I know many of y'all got to drive on icy roads on the way home. I pray blessings on you and be careful in Jesus' name. But let's celebrate a little bit right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks so much for watching this podcast, or if you're just listening to it, thanks so much for being part of our church service today. I know the Word is so rich, and when we give attention to the Word comes in and does amazing things in our lives. You know, I feel in our church that recently we've just been like sitting on a powder keg of the Holy Spirit and it's just ready to blow. Man, I see lives changed every single week in our church and it's so exciting. I walk out of here sometimes and it's like I've had a surreal experience of just seeing God move and do things that I only previously dreamed of. So I'm so glad that you're part of that today. And you know, the greatest decision you can ever make in life is to serve the Lord Jesus, to ask Him into your heart, to make Him the Lord of your life, to ask Him to take away all the sin, all the shame, and all the guilt. If you'd like to pray with me right now and receive Him into your heart, this can happen. You can pray right where you are, whether you're at home or you're at work or wherever you're listening to this. You can pray right now and ask the Lord into your life, and He can do something that no other man can do. He can bring peace, He can bring salvation, He can bring healing. So if you're ready for that, just pray with me right now. Say these words, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin, that you wash away the guilt, that you wash away the shame. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life and help me to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can say amen where you are. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching. I ask that you bring healing. I ask that you bring deliverance. I ask that you bring peace of mind. Lord, for those struggling with family problems, Lord, I ask that you come in and speak peace to the storm that's going on in their lives right now. And Lord, we love you, we bless you, we thank you today for who you are. Thank you for the audience listening and watching today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So follow us online, follow us on our social media pages. Thanks so much for listening, and till next time, walk with the Lord, be blessed, grow in the Word, and go forward in Him.